Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. This is DJ Ginger MC, and I have a very important notification for you. And the fact is that you are about to get notified.
KUCI. It makes me wanna. 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 KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine.
The opinions and views expressed in this program do not reflect those of KUCI, its management, or the UC Board of Regents.
All right, well, there you have it. I am pumped today because I am going to get a chance to meet our guest just as you are. I was introduced to this man by Diane Hamilton, who's an amazing podcast and radio show host. And for some reason, she thought to connect us. And she did, and I'm excited that she did, because I've brought him here today. His name is Mitch Russo, and he just launched ResultsBreakthrough.com. This guy has worked with Tony Robbins. He's built multi-million dollar companies. He helps you find your better self. And today, we're going to talk about accountability. What that means for you, for your business, for social media, and then everything in between. We'll put a little bit of LinkedIn fairy dust on the whole thing, and everybody's going to have a good time. Mitch, are you there, sir?
I am here, waiting for you, ready to go.
All right. Well, we are here, and I'm excited to have you. Now, where are you calling in from? Where in the world would you be if you were Carmen Sandiego?
Well, I wish I was in San Diego because today it is snowing in Boston, Massachusetts.
Yikes. All right. Well, we'll just pretend that you're here with us in studio in the sunny California Irvine here on campus at UCI at KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine. And we're streaming all around the world. So let's talk about this new, would you call it a website? Would you call it a platform? Would you call it a business? Like, talk to us about this whole results breakthrough concept.
Sure. So very simply, what has happened and transpired in my life has led me to this. Everything in my life has basically conspired to reach this one single point in time today when I'm here with you and where we are talking about this website, ResultsBreakthrough.com. And here's why. When I was younger, I had a problem. I grew up in the 60s, and I got involved in drugs. I had a band. We had a lot of fun. We played all over town. We were the highest grossing rock band, frankly, in Brooklyn at the time. But I fell into drugs.
Yeah.
And it was kind of rough. I started using heroin, and I became an addict. And my family figured this out, and they got me into rehab. And rehab saved my life. And without getting into all of the details, which I'd be happy to share with you, here's what ended up motivating me to do what I'm doing today. I think if I would have had an adult in my life, an impartial adult, not a parent, I think potentially I might not have gone down that route. And so what I have been thinking about doing over the years, and I've spoke for youth organizations, I've spoke for kids, and what I love to do is give back in that way and share this story, because it's so powerful when, you know, you have been through it and are explaining it and sharing it with people who potentially could have that same problem. But for me, what I wanted to do is find a way to help. And so I came up with a system, and I patented the system of matching up entrepreneurs to find each other and basically become accountability partners. And this system of accountability has solved so many problems in my life and so many of the problems in my friends, entrepreneur friends and business owners' lives, that I decided to create the equivalent of Match.com just for entrepreneurs. And what happens is people go on the site, they fill out a profile. If they've, for example, bought training programs in the past but never finished them, we have a library of training program questions that they could load up into their accountability sessions. And they could dive right in and start working with somebody that they matched with on being more accountable to reach their goals and attain the ultimate goals of making their lives so important and happy. So what, for me, the element of the story is that if you join ResultsBreakthrough.com and if you enjoy working on the platform, then there's an option called 10-Minute Mentor. You can become a 10-Minute Mentor. And what we're doing now is we're working with other third-party large organizations to match up our 10-Minute Mentors with inner-city high school kids who want to get matched up with an adult, maybe get a little advice, maybe share their big business dream, and maybe get a little encouragement and maybe even save their lives. So that's what I'm doing.
Wow. All within a few sentences. And I heard everything from, you know, this idea of accountability to actually something happening out in the community, helping some inner city, individuals that haven't really had that mentorship chance. You've got this 10-minute abs. Oh, wait, no. 10-minute mentor. 7-minute abs. No, 6-minute abs. So I love it how the time frame just gets shorter and shorter. So 10 minutes, and this idea that 10 minutes can save someone's life, it can change a trajectory. It's amazing how much power is in that 10 minutes. How did you come up with that 10-minute spot? Why 10 minutes?
Well, first of all, I mean, I like the fact that it sounds easy and simple,
yeah.
But I know something about human nature. I know that as soon as any of us connects with another human being, a young person, what will kick in our instinct to help. And so I think, frankly, if you had 10 minutes and once a month you connected with an inner-city kid who wanted to have you in their lives, I have a feeling that 10 minutes might turn into 20 minutes, and I think that once a month might turn into twice a month. But I could be wrong.
Okay. So the 10 minutes is just the start, and it's a low barrier to entry for people to want to get involved. And 10 minutes seems like a time that's easy enough for most people to sort of cut out to give back and help.
Exactly.
So human nature, you're saying that we want to help each other. I want to know more about that because I wish more people would help each other. How come that makes sense, but we don't necessarily always see it? Or is it there and we just don't know it?
Well, you know, it's a great question, and I think it comes back to the fact that us that are a little bit older have experienced in our lives people, strangers, maybe people we knew, helping us, reaching out to give us a little assistance. And Ryan, I'm sure in your life it's happened too. So
absolutely,
for me,
yeah,
I mean, it's a very natural thing. I've been a mentor to kids, and I've been a mentor to other business owners, and I've had mentors, and I've been lucky enough to have mentors like Tony Robbins in my life for 5 years at a time. So, I mean, when you are given gifts of presence, of understanding, of care, and those gifts make a difference in your life, I believe that there's a part of human nature that says, you know what, I want to do that back. I want to do that too. And it's in the scripture. It's in the Kabbalah. It's in the Torah. It's in the Bible. It's this process of understanding that not that we are takers, but that we naturally are givers. So I believe that the system that I'm creating on a commercial level is a business. You do have to pay a small amount of money to be matched up with your partner and to conduct sessions inside my platform. But more than that, I think people will be motivated to try and basically arrest procrastination. I mean, we procrastinate as people because, I mean, I'll tell you for myself, I know that sometimes when I procrastinate, it's because I'm lazy. It's because I'd rather do something else than the things I'm supposed to do.
Right.
And so what happens, though, with an accountability partner, and I've experienced this over and over again, is that any time I have an accountability partner and I know that my session is at 4 o'clock on a Tuesday, by 1 o'clock I'm making sure that I've gotten everything I promised last week to get done if I haven't already done it. It's just so motivating to know that there's another human being that's going to be checking on you in a few hours. And for me, I mean, I've had coaches in the past, and coaches are fantastic. They happen to be a lot of money, but if you can afford a coach, by all means, get a coach to keep you accountable. But if you're just a regular person and you're just out there trying to make it in this world, then find yourself an accountability partner and agree exactly when you're going to meet. Stay accountable to your own accountability partner. Put together that list of questions that you know you need to be asked every week, and they could change, of course. And just do it.
I love how simple that advice is. And, you know, you talk about helping people. I'm a huge fan of just helping where I can. And I think that oftentimes the idea of helping maybe seems like it's more than it really is. And the lowest level that I've found that I can help people at is just believing in them. And I had a radio show guest, I don't know, maybe a couple months ago, and she was sort of fearful to ask, and I found the backstory. She'd wanted to be a guest, and she finally asked, and then I had her on the show and totally saw something in her. It's like there's a fire within her, and all I did was just help her recognize that, give her the thumbs up, a high five, a little bit of motivation, and ever since that day, I've been seeing her more active on social. I've been seeing her take more risks with what she's doing with the career, and it seems to be working out. And she hand-delivered a bag of chocolates the other day that had a quote, something along the lines of, "If only everyone had someone to believe in them." And it really was like this crazy moment. Like, I didn't invest a whole bunch of time. I didn't invest a whole bunch of effort. All I did was invested a little bit of energy just to let somebody else know that, you know, I'm here for you if you need me. And sometimes that's all you need. And so it's kind of like an invisible accountability partner by just believing in people, right?
Absolutely. And honestly, if that's all you need and if that's all you can give, then by all means, do it. And if that works for you, that's great. Personally, I wish it was that easy for me. I need more than that. I actually need to speak to somebody typically once a week, sometimes more. And I would love to know that not only am I taking, but I'm giving too.
Right.
So to this day, I have an accountability partner, and you know, and I rely on her to keep me accountable, but she relies on me too.
Right, nice two-way street for sure. So this program that you set up, is it the technology behind that matching you with someone?
Yes, it's a patented process. It's basically thinkofmatch.com. Basically, you fill out a profile, you go do a search, you take a look at the profile and go, wow, this person looks like we're in the same business or we have the same size business, because your profile covers all of that. And then you say invite. And then you invite somebody and you set a date and time. And if they accept, or they could change the time, of course, if they accept, at that point, you both get on Skype or get on the phone. And in front of you, you load up your dashboard on resultsbreakthrough.com, and you click the go button, and you are in session on screen. So you're talking on the phone, and you're looking at your screen, and there are all of the accountability questions that your partner is going to ask you, and a place for you to write in answers and comments. And in fact, there's the history of all of your accountability sessions, so you can go back and your partner can go back to and check in on you and say, wait a minute, last week you said you're going to have 39 sales, and this week you said you wanted 35 sales. What's going on here? I mean, so that's what it means to be kept accountable. So without accountability, you probably, you know, I probably, frankly, don't perform at the highest level that I can. It's that simple.
So is this concept of accountability, it makes sense for someone who's in business, who's trying to get motivated and trying to push themselves. Could this same concept of accountability be translated to, say, social media accountability? Whereas you have someone, maybe you don't have a business, maybe you're well before that. The idea of having somebody help you accountable for your goals, I'm assuming it can be anything. It doesn't just have to be business, right?
Exactly. In fact, you could have an accountability partner for your diet, for your exercise program. You could have an accountability partner to help you with your friendships and relationships. I mean, think about it. This is a person who is going to spend 20 to 30 minutes a week caring about you, asking about you, checking in on you. That's the kind of thing we're talking about here.
Okay, so one thing I'm thinking about, which is an accountability group to some extent I'm involved with, but I didn't really see it as an accountability group, is an engagement group, which is just one word off, right? So on LinkedIn and other platforms too, certain individuals will get together and they will essentially help support each other in their posts.
Yep.
Now, we're not meeting face-to-face, and it's not accountability, but when I see these other people in my group posting every single day on LinkedIn, you know, I jump into the thread and I like and I comment to help support, but then it makes me think, wait a minute, crap, I haven't done my LinkedIn post today. I need to do my LinkedIn post today. It's like it's an unsaid accountability because I'm part of this group. It's a very powerful leverage, really.
Exactly, exactly. And you know who Daniel Pink is, of course, right?
Yes.
In his new book, When, This is a quote from his book. We're far more likely to stick to a goal if we have someone holding us accountable. One way to surmount a slump is to tell someone else how and when you'll get something done. Ryan, you just said it.
That's got a nice little ring to it right there. We could almost wrap that if we wanted to.
Up to you, buddy.
Yeah. Oh, I might have to rehearse a little bit. I'm working on my rap skills. I've got my third TEDx talk coming up, and a big part of it is actually going to be a rap. So it's just rapping's on my mind. I've been driving and rapping. Maybe I need a rap accountability partner.
There you go.
Honestly, that's interesting. And the same thing would extend to like a speech accountability partner. Because if you're practicing or rehearsing for a talk or a presentation, it's hard and your stuffed animals get sick of hearing you do it, right?
Not mine. They love it.
So, well, this is exciting. How long has this project been in the works on? I know getting something patented is a big brain damage, but has this been sort of a long-term effort on your part? What's the backstory of this?
I was inspired to do this exactly a year ago. It was around last January that I had this brainstorm that would not let go of me. I tried to let it go. I had tried to drop it. It would not drop. It just chased me down and tied me down and stuck in my face over and over again. And then at that point I said, okay, I'm going to do it. As soon as I said, I'm going to do it, resources started showing up out of nowhere. It was absolutely amazing.
Wow, that's cool. So are you familiar with the Parkinson's Law?
No, what is that?
Oh my goodness gracious, it's an amazing natural force of productivity. And it is the natural law that things will get done in the amount of time you set them to do. So classically, you're in a writing class as a freshman in college and you have 10 weeks to put together your 40-page paper. Midterms goes by, you're like, it's cool, it's not due till week 10. Week 7 goes by, you're like, I'd rather go to Mammoth, it's cool, I got time. It ends up being 3 days beforehand, you're like, I should start to work on this. You open up, you start a Word doc, and you're like, nah, I'm not ready yet, it's not due just yet. 24 hours comes up, and then you're like, holy crap, I have a 40-page paper that's due. The whole world stops, and somehow you're inspired by this crazy spirit, your fingers dance on the keyboards, and all of a sudden you crash out like a 41-page paper, you don't sleep, and then you're like, I did it. Right?
Whoa. So, sounds like my college career.
That's what everybody feels like when they have these deadlines. So it's really deadline-driven motivation. And so I've found a couple of creative ways to use that where if I set aggressive, shorter-term deadlines, I have a way better chance of getting things done than if I actually, do otherwise. So it's this idea of setting a date that it's due. And then all of a sudden, it becomes super important when it's due, and you just find the time to get it done.
Exactly. And I love the way you do it. You know, John Assaraf, right?
Yep. We got some same people in the same crowd here.
Okay, good. So, you know, John says, making commitments to yourself and someone else greatly increases the chances that you will follow through and fulfill them. So you did it. You made a commitment to yourself, which is great. You were able to basically hold to it. But making that commitment to someone else, too, would probably double the chances of you actually getting it done.
Hmm. And I would even say it would probably triple or quadruple or even magnetize that much more. I do this when I'm traveling, too. So if people are still having a hard time getting this, I am a big believer that you will pack your bag as full as the size of the bag.
Right? Exactly.
Like I have these, you know, a couple different travel bags, and like one's a carry-on and one's a more of aggressive carry-on, and no matter what, if I choose bag A, I'm going to fill it to the brink, and it's like zip, zip, zip. Same thing if it's smaller or if it's bigger. It's a natural phenomenon. So I try to tell people, figure out the luggage first, like figure out the workload first, figure out how many times you want to post or how aggressive you want to be on a platform or how many blogs you want to write, and then fill that suitcase.
Makes a lot of sense. I got to tell you, anything that you can use, any little magic trick or mental manipulation that you could use to help yourself get stuff done has got to work. And again, we can go back and ask the masters themselves. Zig Ziglar says everyone needs a method, technique, or system for accountability. So, I mean, this is a universal thing. Accountability is built into our psyche, the way our minds and personalities work. Zig goes on to say, commit yourself to detailed accountability, record your progress toward your goals, and share it with another. This is wisdom.
Okay, I just came up with a new word. I do this every once in a while. But you talked about how accountability is built into the system. So maybe you can have a word, accountability.
Ah, there you go. I love it.
Because it's almost there. It's like, if you realize, I think people are more receptive to elements in the universe if they think that it's a natural force, right? So if trying to get somebody to jump on the accountability train is one thing, but letting them know that accountability is built in, and it's actually, they've been saying it wrong for years, it's accountability. This is something that's built into you, and you could probably find an example in someone's life where they have been held accountable and they have been more successful. And now you can translate that to, well, what if you could take that power and move it to a weekly basis? Or what are these goals that you're trying to achieve? You can't seem to lose the weight. Well, what if you could lose a weight in only, 15 or 10 minutes a week? Sounds too good to be true, but it's not. It's accountability.
Exactly. I love that word. I might steal that from you.
Yeah, go for it. I make up words all the time. I have no claim for it.
Well, that's pretty good. But you see, the thing that you're talking about here is a very simple concept. I mean, but here's an interesting element of this, and this comes from my own personal use of an accountability partner. And now, as we start the system, by the way, is getting started. We just launched late last week, early this week. We're just rolling it out. And what we're starting to see already are that people are reporting back that they're having a great experience. And one of the things that happens is that we join a program like this for selfish reasons, which is totally okay. We join a program because we know we need help. We know we want to find an accountability partner who will hold us to what we say we'll do. But after a little while, it starts to feel even better when you know you're helping another person. And that's what I alluded to earlier.
And I think that this, again, going back to how do we tap into what people already have, I think people have a genuine desire to help others. They just might either be bashful or shy or not have the confidence or not the tools. But in the right situation at the right place, I do agree that it's human nature to want to help others. I mean, we're one of these crazy species that are born underdeveloped just so our brain can be big enough, and then we have to basically be cared on hand, foot, and whatever for half of our life just to get to a spot where we can be self-sufficient.
Exactly. And so, it's like I said, it's basically built in to the way that we are wired as human beings, where we know we need to be raised by a parent. We know that, as we grow up, we learn from others, and others influence us in a great way. Why do we stop when we're older? I mean, now it's a great time to look at yourself and say, what do I need? Like, one of the things my program is designed to do is to help people who went out and bought training programs but never finished them. So that happens to be a phenomenon of modern culture, you might say. We all buy training programs from one time or another, and I don't know about you, but I got a spreadsheet with all the usernames and passwords for about $80,000 worth of training programs. I never finished most of them, but when you have a system like I've designed that will let you pick the exact training program that you want, or enter the name of the training program that you want to be kept accountable for, find a partner, work with them, magic happens. You get to complete that program.
Yeah, and the magic is already within you. It's just someone else holding you accountable and giving you, holding on to the bag that you need to pack. Now, wait, this is classically like the trick for training where you have a group of people that you work out with and you actually give the other person your bag for the next workout. So if you don't show up, somebody else doesn't get their bag to train with.
Exactly. Boy, that's a trick, huh?
Yeah.
You better show up.
Yeah.
Switch bags and see how well that works.
Yeah, you come with two bags or like an extra set of clothes, and then you give it to somebody else. I mean, talk about the ultimate accountability, right? You are responsible for the other person's success. And, when I talk with you, you remind me of my friend Keith Ferrazzi, who's a 2-time New York Times bestseller. I'm also excited that, he's working with my company. We're helping him out with some stuff. And he has a third book that's coming out. It's called Co-Elevation.
Yep.
And his first book, for everybody listening, it's a must read. It's called Never Eat Alone. It's a brilliant yep. networking. And then he's got Who's Got Your Back, which really is about accountability and creating a team through your network. And this next one is Co-Elevation, which, you know, I definitely should connect you to on this, because the idea is that in a new organization, like a modern manager, people have more things to do with less resources, and really there's this move towards investing in human capital. How do we train our employees to be better? How do we create teamwork that, you know, elevates everyone? But there's still a hierarchy. There's a manager and there's those who they manage. And when you come to goals and setting strategic visions, a lot of times it's like just putting checks in boxes. Everybody's responsible for themselves. But this co-elevation concept is tied in with accountability, because if you are committed to the success of your fellow employee and they are committed to co-elevate with you, everybody rises together, because it's not just a responsibility to report to your upper manager. It's the person who's sitting next to you in the desk. It's the person that on the daily you're working with to make sure that you're both being accountable for your goals. So it's definitely a trend to tap into what people already have to increase what they're just what they have within them. They're just not doing.
Exactly. It's so true. And by the way, I would love to be connected to Keith. By all means, tell him what we talked about today, and let put them together. Keith and I knew each other years ago when my business partner Chet Holmes passed away. We met face to face for the first time at his memorial.
Wow, definitely, I'll for sure connect you guys. He's so fun and high energy, and he, at the end of the day, I really believe he is just trying to help people find their best selves. So let's talk about some of how we can take this accountability fairy dust and sprinkle it into the world of social media. Now, I know that you're big on social, and LinkedIn, I would assume, is sort of your go-to platform?
It is.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about LinkedIn, and I would assume from one end of it, you've been building a community, building a network, and that's a big part of how you were able to launch your first book, and then now this sort of, you know, program. So I'd be curious to know of how you've used social media to spread the news about what you're doing. And then on the second side of it, how do you use social media platforms like LinkedIn to tap into this accountability concept, right? Connecting with people that you can grow further and faster with. So first off, like LinkedIn, what do you think about it? And is it a pretty integral part to, you know, your outgoing strategy?
It is an integral part of my outgoing strategy. In fact, it's an integral part of how I build my business at every level. I do work personally with individual clients, and I do build certification programs as part of my consulting practice. And many of the people that I've met in business around working with them directly have come from connections on LinkedIn. So I think of LinkedIn as possibly the single greatest place to make the type of connections that business people need to make. But I also think that Facebook is great, too, for what it does. Everything, I believe, has a purpose, and if you try and use all social media with the same objective and the same purpose, then it will only work in very rare circumstances. But if you tailor your content for the social media experience itself, then my belief is that you'll get far more engagement than you would if you were just simply out there and posting the same thing over and over again.
That's interesting. So one size does not fit all as far as you're concerned on social.
Well, actually, that's completely true, and it's physically one size doesn't fit all, as you know.
Right.
So, I mean, with Twitter, you basically need to think of ways, and I use questions on Twitter, I drive people to URLs for my podcast, Your First 1,000 Clients, and I do that by using a question. And that question, I think, in most people's mind, will lead them to read the next thing that comes after it. And if they're interested in the topic, and if they're interested in what the person is talking about, then in my opinion, that will drive them to click on the link and potentially consume the content that I'm sharing. When it comes to LinkedIn, it's a much more interesting, more involved strategy that I use. First of all, I do write. I love to write, and I post sometimes very long posts on LinkedIn that tell stories. I love to tell stories. And LinkedIn is such a great place to tell a story because of the engagement. And if that story leads to a place that I want to take them, then I'm going to be thrilled that it's working the way I want. Facebook is more, these days, it's evolving into more of, you know, here's a picture of my dog, my cat, my goldfish, and my breakfast. But going live on Facebook does still work and gets a lot of great attention. And it's important if you have a message to tell. And, of course, Facebook loves that you do that, and they even give you a way to spend money with them promoting it. So why not?
Sure. They love that. That's interesting. I like that. So for Twitter, it's a platform that you use to ask questions. And then for LinkedIn, it's more of a story-based content. And for Facebook, it's more of a, hey, check out what's going on right now, whether it's my cat, my goldfish, or my food.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what I'm doing right now is I just put a tweet together that says, one way to use Twitter, I'm going to tag Twitter, one way to use Twitter per at Mitch Russo is to ask questions. What do you think? I'm just trying that out. And then I'm going to throw a little GIF on here for questions. So there you go. We'll see how that works. I was thinking about doing a poll with questions, but I'm just going to do this. We'll see what kind of engagement we get. All right. So let's talk about LinkedIn and how does storytelling tie into creating connections?
Yes, that's a great topic. We, as people, don't connect with things. We connect with people. And because of that connection, we buy things. And you might think, well, wait a minute. You know, I just basically go down to the grocery store and I fill my bag with groceries. But you're still connecting with people. And what I mean by that is every product is represented by a person. And every product has a group, a person or a company behind it. And if you don't agree with the basic stance of that individual or that company, then as much as you might want the product, you still won't buy it. And I think one of the most graphic elements that I've ever seen with that was back, I remember when my grandfather was looking to buy a new car. My grandfather built a company, and he grew it. He did a beautiful job of growing his company, and he was going to reward himself with a new car. And he started to look at Mercedes-Benz, and my grandmother threw a fit, said, "You will not buy a German car. Absolutely not." And it changed his mind completely, and he did not buy a German car. So even things have a personality and the personality of their creators behind it. So what better place than to share who you are with in a place where stories are encouraged, where stories are formatted in a way that they can be easily consumed by the people in your world, on your LinkedIn world. That, to me, is the beauty of LinkedIn. Yes, you can post, and I do short posts on LinkedIn, too, but I love to tell the stories of my life because what I know is that people reach out and connect with me. I'll give you an example.
Okay.
I wrote a very long two-part post, and it was really all about how I built success into my TimeSlip software company many years ago. And it followed a pattern. The story I wrote followed the hero's journey pattern. And I did it carefully, and I used the tools that I was able to acquire for free on the Internet, just basically Googled the hero's journey, and I followed the formula. And I have to say, I probably wrote too much. It was about 8,000 words in two separate posts. But I had people reach out to me and say, "Oh, my God, your story touched me so in such an amazing place. We have so much in common. I don't even know you, but I feel so close to you now. Thank you for being vulnerable and sharing that story." Now, I never spoke to that person. I never had any interaction with them. And then these people are saying, "Well, we're so much alike." See, that sets up everything going forward. And that is really all I'm trying to do, is I'd love for people to get to know me because really in many ways we are all so much alike. And that's what storytelling is about. It's building a bridge between two people and really reinforcing just how much and how similar we really are.
You know what? I also need to introduce you to Park Howell. Have you heard of Park Howell?
No.
All right, so his deal is the business of story. And I was actually just on his podcast. I just illustrated an ebook with him that's going to be live at Social Media Marketing World coming up here in a couple weeks. He is, think of him as like a Merlin of storytelling. And what he does, he helps businesses find that magic of story that they're not necessarily really sold on that they need it. And he does a really great job at getting people to understand the importance of stories. And this new ebook that I'm working on with him, it's about the five stages of storytelling parallel with the stages of grief, right? So you have your first, which is denial, and then you have anger, and then you have this, and then you have acceptance, and there's negotiation in there. And it's a really, like, it's a natural reaction to be like, deny it first, and then, mm-hmm. you know, argue against it, and then all these different stages as though you're dealing with somebody, like, with grief. But at the end of the day, we are all storytellers. You know, the story of when you were a kid washing cars and the difference between washing them and waxing them. Like, that was a fun one that I read. And it's just that story is so much more powerful than just hearing you tell me the end result. So what you're saying is that on LinkedIn, by telling these stories, and 8,000 words, by the way, that's a long post, right?
Yeah.
So that means somebody invested time and they really found within that mess a message that resonated with them.
Exactly. And if you go to my website, MitchRusso.com, and you go to my blog, I have two types of posts. The first post is, this is how you do it, whether it's hiring a sales superstar or setting up a call center or building a program or a course. And then there's another type of story, and that is basically the spiritual side of why things happen and how they do. So I tell a story called The Elephant's Dilemma, which is a real experience of me being a little boy and going to the circus with my father. And I spent a lot of time on this story because I think the nuances are super important. But in the end, the story teaches a lesson that really resonates with a lot of people. And I won't give it away. I want you to go there. Go to MitchRusso.com and go to the blog page, and you'll see The Elephant's Dilemma down. You have to scroll down a bit, you'll find it. But the point is that if you can understand what it is you're trying to convey and then wrap a beautiful, enticing story around it, then your message will actually get delivered far faster and far better than, as you said before, just stating a fact.
Wow. Okay, so this is cool. So I think a lot of people think of LinkedIn as a very business, very professional, very need to share business. I need to share insights. I need to share Inc. articles. I need to share this. I don't need to share my cat. I shouldn't share my food. But you're kind of demystifying that with this blanket statement that stories are okay on LinkedIn.
Stories are, for me, the primary way that I get to reach people. And that's why, listen, Ryan, this is why we do podcasting. I mean, we get to hear other people's stories. And the stories, look, we're voyeurs at nature. I mean, we love to sit around and listen to these amazing stories and then participate with these fantastic people. I've interviewed over 100 people for my show, and I have to tell you, almost every single one of them I have become fascinated with after we've got to spend an hour together.
Yeah. True. So the magic of storytelling. Now, are the stories that you're telling on LinkedIn, are they tied to more of your personal experience or your professional experience, or is it just whatever experience? Tell me a little bit, like, let's unpack the stories just a little bit, because I think this is a very powerful tool of connectivity. You had mentioned that people don't buy products, they buy people, because products are represented by people. And if we take that same rationale and move it to a posts, people don't read posts about products, they read posts about people. Do you think we can make that assumption and that leap? Is that a fair enough measure that, you know, you can have the most amazing content, but if they don't really agree with you as a person, they're probably not going to consume it or really be into it?
Exactly. And I think what you said is exactly how I believe and think. I'll give you an example. So as I mentioned earlier, in my experience building TimeSlips Corporation, I basically stumbled across a business model called certification. I had never really understood it before or even seen it before applied the way I did, and I tried it out, and I miserably failed. In fact, I ended up with potentially lawsuits and crashing my company, a lot of dissatisfied customers. It was a horrible mess. But instead of giving up, what I did is I recalled the program, and I spent 6 months calling everybody who had a bad experience with my first group of certified consultants, and I uncovered what the problems were, and then I completely rebuilt the program from the ground up, understanding what I didn't understand the first time I did it. And at the point in time when I launched that program, I was filled with fear that I would be rejected. I was filled with anticipation that maybe people would like this or maybe they wouldn't. And when you tell that story and then you show them what happened when the end result takes place, you're intriguing another individual to follow along. I mean, I could, and I have, by the way, written long, boring posts about how certification works and all that. But ultimately, probably the most read thing I have on LinkedIn is this 8,000-word, two-part post. Because ultimately, what I'm doing is I'm sharing all of the things that I went through, all of the experiences, the emotions, my mistakes, and the things that maybe you wouldn't at first think you'd want people to know, like how terrified I really was, or how much I doubted myself when I was doing it, but I was so determined to do it that I had to. And once the outcome takes place, and in our case, it was amazingly successful. In a short period of time, we brought 350 certified consultants on board, and my goodness, it dropped $1 million in cash at the bottom line. It eliminated competition for us. It gave us an office in every city, in every major city in the country and several foreign countries, all from an idea that I completely screwed up first but perfected later. Well, that story has been instrumental in helping people understand what I do today. And that's why I told the story. And that's, for me, what resonates most when explaining to people, well, where did I come up with this, and why do I feel like I could write a book about it or charge money to help other people do it?
And if you think about it, that backstory actually gives you credibility, even though you messed up. And I think this is important because I find that people, you know, I help with people building their brands. And a lot of times there's this sort of discovery process when we really try to get to know who they are. And most people are hesitant to really focus on those failures and the ways that things didn't go right because, well, they don't want to share that information. But this is a prime example of how something that you totally messed up, like you botched it, you failed it, you scraped your knees, you broke your ankle, and you knocked out a couple teeth. But because you made that mistake, and it's part of the story that you own, I think it gives you credibility because they know that you've already been there, done that, and now you're not messing up the second time around.
Exactly. And I think the point of it is that, again, being that we are all human anyway, being that we have this desire to advance ourselves and advance our companies, why not get some help? Why not hire a Ryan to come in and try to get something done that so you don't make too many mistakes and you get a positive experience as a result? Well, that's what the whole point of this is about. You know, you could write a book, and I proved this by my own doing. I've written a book called The Invisible Organization, which is literally a blueprint for how to take a brick-and-mortars company virtual. And it's, frankly, the process that I learned and developed while building Business Breakthroughs with Chet Holmes and Tony Robbins. We had 300 virtual employees, or virtual staff, I should say, working all over the country, even all over the world, and we never even owned a single asset as a company.
Wow.
So I, you know, what I did is I blueprinted first the mindset of the CEO in order to do this, then I blueprinted the actual process of how to create the systems that go behind being virtual, and then I disclose what I believe are the marketing superpowers that you acquire as a virtual company. And here's what I've come to learn. As much information as you put out there in a book, there aren't many people who will actually do the work. They'll understand it, they'll see how you did it, but they're better suited to hire you to get it done. And so in your book, as you write your book, understand that never be afraid to disclose everything you know, your trade secrets, your secret sauce, whatever you want to call it. Disclose it, because it's not as if people are going to steal it. It's simply going to help people understand how well you know your game. That's my belief.
That is If I could do a real time, like if we were recording live on a record, I go woo, and I'd rewind it and we'd listen to that again, just over and over, because I think that's so important. I'm also going to connect you with my buddy John Bates. He's an amazing speaker. He works with everybody from Johnson & Johnson to NASA, and he goes and helps them become better communicators. And one of the things that I love that is stuck with me is this idea that every time you go out there, you give everything possible, as opposed to a lot of speakers who hold back because they think that that's what people will buy. No, you're spot on the fact that if you put everything out there, like step by step, they are going to see it. They're going to understand that you know how to do it. They're going to try to do it themselves. They're going to realize they can't do it themselves, and they're going to come to you first when it comes to that that service or essentially problem being solved that you need to solve.
Exactly. And you know, I learned this from Chet. Chet Holmes and I had been friends for 30 years, 28 years, and I met Chet when he used to call on me when I was still building TimeSlips Corporation. He used to call on me to sell me advertising. And he was a pesky guy. I mean, he never gave up. He had pig-headed discipline, as he's now famous for. And finally, after a year and a half or so, I decided that I would actually buy advertising from his company. And it was the greatest decision I made in a long time, and he made it work extra hard. He really got behind it. And we became the best of friends, and we stayed best friends for many years. And eventually, he asked me if I would come help him build his company, and that's how we met Tony Robbins, and that's how we built a company with Tony Robbins. But I remember this very clearly. I remember attending an event with Chet, and it's his turn, and he gets up on stage, and somebody asks the question about our secret sauce, our entire infrastructure and back end and how we do it. And Chet laid it out step by step, inch by inch, exact process by process. I was sitting there sweating in the back of the room saying, Chet, when he finally came off stage, I said, Chet, what are you doing? You're giving away our best stuff. And that's when he disclosed exactly what I said before. He said, nobody will ever do it, even though they know how, but that proves to them that we do, and they'll hire us to do it for them. And that was the light bulb for me that went off in somewhere around 2009, and I've never forgotten it since.
Yeah, that's amazing. And for people who are out there that have amazing ideas, they have amazing content, if you are holding back on your content, and if you are thinking to yourself, wait a minute, I could add this, but maybe that's something I want to charge for, stop that mentality, get to an abundance mentality, and share every single step along everything, single thing that you do, because people will see you as the expert for who you are. And when it comes time to paying, that's where they're going to look. I think that is something the internet has opened up, but not everybody's taken advantage of. And there's too many sneaky spots where, like, you watch a video that supposedly has these amazing tips, and then it cuts off halfway and it says, sign up for this in order to do that. And then you keep jumping through hoops and hoops and hoops versus just give me the secret sauce, and then I'll, you know, hire you to make it.
Exactly. And you know something? There have been people who bought my book who sincerely and genuinely want to do part or some of the process that I know can never afford it. And you know what? I love helping people. And I said, hey, no problem. Let's spend an hour together. Let's spend 30 minutes together. I'll help you. Let me get you started. And this way, at least you're headed in the right direction. I love doing that. That happens to be one of my favorite things. And if I have the time, I would do it all the time. Because, again, I love helping people.
Okay, so one thing that I heard you say, and we've got about 5 minutes left or so, I think this is a really cool concept to sort of wrap up with and get your thoughts. You said something very particular. You said it makes people follow along. Now, most of the times you hear it makes people follow, or it increases my following, or I want someone to follow, or are they following? But you added another word, and I think that it's a really interesting point which wraps the whole show together. Because what you're doing is your content, your stories, you want people to follow along. There's a process with that. That makes me think of this weekly accountability, of it being more of a journey than a destination, about it being more than just a product, but being the people and the company and the country behind the product, right? So talk to me about the difference between getting people to follow versus getting people to follow along, because I really think that that's like the stitch that weaves all this together.
That was very insightful, Ryan, and you're absolutely right. And it's a very simple thing. I mean, you can get followers on Twitter, and I mean, I have 6,000 quote-unquote followers on Twitter, but to get someone to follow along means engagement. And without engagement, following is useless and worthless. That's what I love about that idea of following along. And when you have quote-unquote followers, if they're not following along, if they're not engaged, if they're not interested in what you're doing and staying in tune with you, then I don't believe that that has value. The value comes from engagement. The value comes from the, I think, the two-way communication, even in social media. So when I make that post and I post those 8,000 words on LinkedIn, the two-way conversation starts as soon as I hit the send button, and that's the part that I love the most.
I love it, and I think that this idea of getting people to follow along is so much more important, and that is how social media can work. Because if you have sort of this, you know, this boom mentality, like I'm going to go out there and I'm just going to broadcast my message, that's not the case. I love this concept that as soon as I hit send, that's the beginning of the conversation. It's a two-way street back and forth.
So, exactly.
So how do people who are out there that are all inspired now to find an accountability partner, how does that work, and can you give the breakdown in a three-minute process? And I want you to give away the secret sauce, not being fearful that they're not going to use your site, because they might try to do it and then they'll revert back to your site for actually doing it, right? So,
yep.
So how would someone without your site go about finding an accountability partner, and what are the baseline metrics to do it? And then that's a secret sauce, everybody. You have it for free. And then go try it. You might have struggles with it. You might need a platform to put it together. And then you can check out the website, or, you know, resultsbreakthrough.com. So you've got the floor. How do people do it on their own? What is the secret sauce?
Okay. I think it's so simple. It just belies understanding how easy it is. All you need to do is approach somebody and basically ask them, would you like to spend maybe 20 minutes or so helping me stay on top of what I'm doing, whether it's my exercise, my work, or my diet. And if you do it for me, I'll do it for you. And I have a little bit of a gift for your listeners today. I've actually taken my best accountability questions, and they put them on a page for everyone.
Sweet.
So is that okay if I give that away?
Yeah, absolutely, 100%, and then some.
Okay, cool. So let me talk about the process, and then I'll give you the URL. The process is simple. What you're doing is you're meeting with a person once a week, and you've agreed on a set of questions that you want to be asked, and they have agreed on a set of questions that they want to be asked. Now, as part of those questions, you need to hold them accountable with real things like numbers. So if it's diet, it's calories. If it's business, it's dollars, or tweets, or Facebook likes, or whatever you need to keep track of. And then at that point, you need to record the results every week of the progress that people are making, because there's no point really if there's no progress. And the way to see the progress is to either collect it week after week and then use a spreadsheet to graph it, or of course you can go to resultsbreakthrough.com and we do all that for you. So here is the list of my questions, the questions that I've culled over the years that I've collected from people like Seth Godin and Tony Robbins. Go to tiny.cc/my questions. tiny.cc/my questions. And there'll be a little place for you to put in your email address so I can send them to you. And you will receive, and it's not a very big list, it's like maybe 18 or 20 questions, but these are the most profound questions. These are the questions that if you incorporate it into your own routine, you will make progress. You will be successful, and you will reach your goals.
Okay, sweet. So I just checked that out, and I didn't find it. So tiny.cc/my questions, because I'm going to tweet it out.
Yeah, let me just make sure it's still there. It's been up for a bit, but let's just see if it's still there.
Well, how about this? Yeah. Is that it?
Yeah, you just have to get your free accountability questions here, put in your name, your email address, and boom.
Okay, so what, tiny.cc/my questions?
Yes.
All right. Well, I will tweet that out, ladies and gentlemen. Mitch, this has been a lot of fun. I feel like I feel more accountability right now, because it's built in. So everybody check out Mitch and check out what he's doing and follow him on LinkedIn, connect. And you know what? I'm going to throw you under the bus, Mitch. You should reach out to him, ask if he has 10 minutes just to check in, and that 10 might turn into 20, and that 20 might turn into 30, and that might turn into a relationship where you can both help each other out, because it's all about the quid pro quo, right?
Love it. Absolutely perfect.
All right, well, check your Twitter feed. I've had a lot of fun in making a couple introductions, and we will see everyone next week where we talk with more amazing people like Mitch who give a unique perspective when it comes to communication both online and offline. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Ginger MC here at KUCI-FM, and Mitch, you get to say the final goodbye. You get to say adios, goodbye, something preferably in another language.
Listeners, thank you for tuning in today. I love having you with me, and I can't wait to talk to you again soon. Bye.
You are listening to Get Notified. Let's rock out. Thanks, guys, girls, everyone.